Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, the last book of Moses. And the five books are the Pentateuch, or the Law, or the Torah, called all the same. This is the fourth chapter, and it has to do with Moses reciting to the children of Israel the Law again. It's like the Leviticus, the whole book. Five books of Moses are law, and the law cannot be broken unless you want to not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord calls people from out of nowhere, mostly a lot of renegades, characters, people that were tough guys out in the world. He never calls a Casper milk toast. Doesn't make any matter how big or tall the person is. If they're a Casper milk toast, they're still a Casper milk toast. Amen? Like a real weak, mealy mouth, nothing. God called David, and God deemed him to be better than his tall brothers. And so he also went home. Jesus went home to dinner with a little guy that was up in a tree. Do you remember his name?
Zacchaeus.
Huh?
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus, right. So the Lord pays attention to people's hearts, not the bulk that they're hauling around with them, or how tall they are. That doesn't mean a thing. God chased a bunch of big jablunks out of the promised land with a bunch of small, tiny insects, hornets, and had them, just ran them off like that to show that little hornets can defeat giants. Amen?
Amen.
So giant doesn't mean anything in God's book at all. So, this is the law. Now, the law tells you not to bring an accusation against an elder. That's one of the things. There are like hundreds and hundreds of laws in the Bible that branch off from the Ten Commandments. And another one tells you not to murmur and complain, because when you murmur and complain, especially to baby Christians, you're like a Midianite. Or you're like a Midianite that wants to discourage Israel. You're like Balak. And if you follow what Balak, the devil, tells you to do, well, then you're like Balaam. You join up with the devil to discourage the people of Israel. And during the course of the 40 years that the Israelites were in the wilderness, God put a bunch of people out of the what would be termed the church. He killed them because they murmured and complained. Now, it wasn't too long ago that I mentioned, just a few years ago, that I mentioned that I wanted a farm. I also mentioned years ago that I made millions of dollars, and a lot of people didn't believe it, so the Lord says, go ahead and prove it to them. They're all losing money on everything they're doing. Close them down, and you show them how to make money, Tony. So I closed all the places. I put the pencil to it just to make sure that it was the Lord that was telling me that, and every single one of them were losing money. They thought that they were in a big business and so on, like Mike Elmore had a furniture building plant, and so did Dennis Hagen. And every single one of them were losing so much money, it was unbelievable. All the money that I was making at the Alamo of Nashville, and in other ways, it was just going down the drain. It was just paying for lumber that they were losing money. Yeah, they didn't know how to price things out, and they never asked how to run business. Even though my testimony shows that everyone called me a genius at business, out and out genius. And I have a very, very special ability in business. And even the Internal Revenue Service asked me if I would show them how to make money. And they were sincere when they were asking me. I told them I wouldn't mind showing you if you give me a franchise. That means one of your 50 states. And she just looked real sad, because she knew she couldn't do that. It was in Denver, Colorado, when they made a false promise to me that they were going to lay off of us if I would let them sell the stuff in the Alamo of Nashville that they stole from us without a battle. And I told them, yeah, if you'll drop all these false charges on me that you have with the millions and millions of dollars that I supposedly owe you, you go ahead and sell that. They says, Tony, we want you in business because you're a moneymaker. You really are a moneymaker. I swear to God that what she said is what I'm saying. All right? And you people are not money makers. What I've seen out of you would have, if I were a weak person, discouraged me a long time ago. But I took you off the streets after you'd been put out by the government agencies, and the Lord used me to give you houses today to live in, and gave you food, clothing, dental, everything that you have, cars, automobiles, insurance, pay your utilities and everything else. And I'll be darned if I'm going to support a person that's going to make false charges against me, that I say things that never really come to pass, because that apartment house and all the different facilities that we have, the Lord used me to get them. Okay? Some people may have reported it to me that the thing exists there, but I took care of the business acumen in order to get it. And so, I'd be hanged before I'm going to let somebody start bringing false accusations to me that I'm a man that's not of my word. And this is what Kimmy Edwards is starting. Now, even after she saw the Davis is thrown out for saying that Melissa was of the devil, because what I did is told Melissa to find out, because these people have been sluggards down through the years, and they've been working on the 16th Street property no less than five years, or more like between 5 and 10, however long we've had it. And so when she went over there and checked it and gave me a list of the different things, along with several other sisters, what needed to be done, Don Davis and his wife, Sue Davis, along with their little boy, started saying that this Melissa was of the devil, because she gave me a report on what was going on at the 16th Street house. And so they were trying to make it so where I don't get information so that I can keep the things that I wanted in good shape. And so even the little boy was going around and saying that JJ was telling everybody, Melissa's of the devil. She's possessed with the devil, because she gave a report on Don Davis that it wasn't good. And then I sent Melissa's husband over there to help out, and Don Davis got all over him for his wife reporting something to me. Now, I stated I wanted a farm years and years ago. And I wanted one, but nobody ever showed any talent to be able to run a farm. And they never showed any enthusiasm to want to run a farm. Now, I wouldn't take on anything that I didn't know how to do. I know how to run a farm. I've been on a farm. I was raised in Montana, and I've been around a lot of farms. As a matter of fact, I had the third largest independent hog farm in the state of Arkansas, in case you people forget. But you just, you never put any effort, Kimmy Edwards or your husband, into that farm. And you never put any effort really into the cows that I've purchased. I had a hen laying farm out in Los Angeles. We had thousands of laying chickens. And I instructed them how to take care of those. I had a big silo there where the feed would come about once or twice a week. We had literally hundreds or even thousands of chickens, I can't even remember. And we had a hog farm out there. I didn't open the hog farm out there primarily to sell hogs or to raise pork. I did that because we were spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month to dump garbage. And we could feed the pigs the garbage and save the hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I'm a very meticulously frugal person. I don't give stuff away for nothing. And if I see people that we're spending money and I'm putting a lot of effort in trying to make the house of the Lord successful, and I see somebody trying to undermine not only the actual work, in other words, get things done, but to undermine me, who's doing everything in my power to get things done for the Lord, and says, Kimmy Edwards went and rolled her eyes when she heard one of the sisters say, I'm so happy that we're going to get a farm. And I never really even said I'm going to get a farm. I said, God told me to, but I'm not going to get it until people show some enthusiasm, and not only enthusiasm, but until they learn the new ways of running a farm. Because even though I was in a farm when I was in my teenage years, I'm studying FFA, Future Farmers of America, and all the newfangled things that they have in killing insects, bugs, and all that sort of thing. And also how to the different kinds of feed to feed cattle and how to clean them and worm them and all these sort of things. There's hundreds of things. People see a picture of a farm and it looks so pleasant to them, but they've never worked on a farm. I have, and it's hard work. And it doesn't belong in the hands of a bunch of people that are sluggards. A sluggard will never be, I'll never put a sluggard in there. So I mentioned it years before, and so she rolled her eyes when I recently did a tape on that and says, yeah, we've heard him talk like this before. After all the different things that I've done, I said, I'd do more work in one day than she ever does in her whole life. Because none of you people have ever written a tract, and I've written hundreds of them. Just that alone is hundreds of times more than you've ever done in your life or probably ever will. I do a new tape every day, a message, and I've done literally thousands of messages in my life, and I don't know that any of you have ever brought a message on tape that would be worthy of putting on the air. And so, you know, you shouldn't be talking about me not accomplishing things when you people have taken 5-10 years to do it, and to the point to where I don't trust you anymore, and I had to hire unsaved people out here to put these buildings up, and they put them up quickly, efficiently, and meticulously. There's not one thing wrong with any of them. When you were asked to do something, you never did it. And all the properties that we have, it was my business acumen when the Lord opened up the door for it that I secured the property. And even with Johnson, when I told him to, I didn't want people to think I own the property because I don't. But I told him to go to the bank and to arrange, and I told him exactly what to do, and I said, don't sign any contracts unless you let me see it first. And he went and signed it. And I told him, make sure you never have a payoff penalty. So on the apartment house, there's a $100,000 payoff penalty, and we can't even get a loan on it now because of what he did. So you people have lost. That's a $100,000 loss just with one swift shot right there because he never let me see it. I never in my whole life have ever allowed to get a loan with a payoff penalty on it. That's $100,000, $0.1 million that he lost with one swipe there because he loves to be the big boss. And all the people in the church have taken on his personality and the personality of others like him, where they don't like to report. They don't want to call Tony up and ask him because then they'll say, we're not the boss. And they think about that, that they want to be bosses, and they don't want their wives to think that they're asking Tony anything because they want to be the big macho man, and they wind up on the streets. Because this is my church. God has called me to run it. And you'll either start reporting things. There's a tree crew, a roofing crew out there in Rogers that doesn't report a thing. Once in a blue moon, they'll call them and say, we got so much money and we're going to turn it in. But they like to stay out of the church because of the fact that they cannot endure chastisement. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth chastisement. God chastises those whom he loves. And a pastor has to reprove and rebuke people, but they stay far out of the line of reproof and rebuke because they have not been able to endure chastisement. That's why they don't like to report things, is because they can't stand chastisement. And if you if you do not desire chastisement, then the Bible says you're a bastard. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord says that he chastises whom he loves, and those that receive no chastisement are bastards. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're not desirous of receiving chastisement, then it's you're willingly and wantingly and knowingly wanting to be a bastard. And you willingly and wantonly and knowingly are throwing down the word of God. God says, blessed are those that endure chastisement. Okay, there's a chapter in the Bible and verses all throughout the Bible that talk about this, but we'll go with Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll start at verse 2. Okay, go ahead, read.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher.
Okay, you're looking at the Jesus, what you're supposed to do. All right, then what?
And finisher of our faith.
He's the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, he gives us faith enough to get saved. And then if you do what he tells you, then he gives you, he grows up in you to like a big tree where you have mature faith to where you believe everything. Then what?
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
The joy that was set before him. That means where he saw so many people get into the kingdom of heaven because of what he was going to endure. He was going to endure hardship as an example to us to be endure hardship as a good soldier and to endure chastisement. Because if a person will not endure chastisement, then are they not the sons of God? The word of God, the Holy Spirit, says, ye are bastards. Okay, then go.
Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set...
He despised going through it, but he went through it. Because he's God in the flesh. Then what?
And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Keep going.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself.
Well, see, he even endured chastisement from the Father because the Father led him through everything that he went through in life, including led him right into the cross, to the death of the cross. And so that's why he is the Lord, and that's why he is of God. And that's why he was able, because he did everything the Father said for him to do. That's how he was able to resurrect from the dead. People that don't do everything that the Lord tells them to do will not raise from the dead and enter heaven. They will spend eternity in the bowels of hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
Yeah, he doesn't want you to be weary and faint in your mind. These are scriptures here to give you the faith to where you shouldn't be weary no matter what you're going through. Because God went through it. And he gives us the power to go through it as well. He went through it in the flesh. And so he's in us, in our flesh, and we have to forget about our own little rotten feelings, our own flesh, our own desires, and all the other things that we ourselves want to do. They said, the Lord's work is not a recreational place or a place to smart off, or to act as though it's a vacation spot. You're supposed to be in the Spirit. If you don't feel any hardness, if you're relaxing back like the Davis did and his wife, and just got to get on the phone and start telling false tales about or carrying tales and tattling on one another, and bringing false accusations against people, you're a Midianite. You're like Balak, wanting the people of the Lord to be cursed. And then you become like Balaam, who helps people fall away from the Lord by complaining and murmuring around them. You're Satan's little helper in the congregation, in the midst of the congregation. You love to see churches fall. And for that reason, the Lord will not allow me to let you stay in here and do that. I know that they're seducing spirits, and I know that because the Word of God said there would be, and that they would mingle in among the people. And when I get wind of you years ago, and I had wind of Kimmy Edwards years and years ago, and I've every so often, every year, there's something that still keeps cropping up with her. No matter how much of the Word of the Lord comes down, she still is that way. And so she's been given a lot of space, years, to repent and to become a Christian. And yet she is like rolling her eyes when I say I want to open a farm. She, yeah, we've heard that before. I've wanted to for years, yes. And I've wanted to get a TV network going and also a recording studio. And never could with this bunch of people. The Lord gave me the money, and then he's raising up a bunch of people from outside of the church to join in and help run it for the Lord. And he's given me the desires of my heart, but not through you people. And don't think that if we have a farm, it doesn't look like it's going to be through you people either, because there's none of you that I could trust to run a farm. You're not diligent. You don't report things to me. If animals and plants and everything else were dying, you'd never tell me until after they've been dead for a year. All the property we have, including Muldrow, Moffat, the apartments, the church, all the property out here, all the property out in wherever we are, in Los Angeles, Sue and I found that property and bought them ourselves. Everything came through the Lord and through either Susie or myself. Not one of you. Not even one of you. And then all of a sudden you feel that it was there for you and that you don't have to do anything for it. You can't stay in this property and be a Midianite, a Balak, or a Balaam. You can't expect to stay here. It just shows me that maybe the Lord doesn't want me to be a pastor to you people or put people up anymore. Because why should I put them up? It's taking away from all the money that could be spent on the gospel. Now, there's some people like truck drivers and the printers and some of the cooks and some of the other people in the church that are very good. But we certainly don't need all these Midianites, Balaks, and Balaams, do you think?
No.
Because, and then these people that have gotten this out-of-town roofing crew who hate chastisement. They just don't want to be around it because they cannot endure chastisement. And when you can't endure any longer, that's when you've fallen away. And it looks as though they've fallen away many years ago. They refuse to. They come in intermittently to maybe attend a service or something, but they're no help around the church. Okay, keep going.
Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
Well, no, but I have. I've been stoned, and the Lord has. Amen?
Amen.
And many other people that have endured this. Martyrs of the Lord. And my life is, and many others that are like myself are on the line every day. We could be martyred every day, any day. And so it's when I see people that are so aloof and don't care about hearing the Word of God or the reproof of the Word of God, I despise you. And when you bring false accusations against me like I'm supposed to put Ben Edwards and Kimmy Edwards in charge of a farm, what for? They wouldn't report anything to me. It'd be a waste of money, like so many other things that I've done in the past. Susie always used to say, "It breaks my heart, Tony, to see how enthusiastic you are about doing things for the Lord, and to see this bunch of deadheads." People have had visions one after the other, and I have too, of Sue and myself trying to pull people into the house of God, and we've had many visions where it was the silhouette of Sue and myself. There's a spotlight coming down from heaven, and we're in the center of the spotlight trying to pull these dark figures into the, which were silhouettes also of people. Some of their arms would come into the circle with us when we're trying to pull them in, and some of their legs and then their arms, or maybe one half of their body would come in, and then they'd pull violently back out into darkness because they didn't want to come into the light. Because they love to do dark things, evil things. And then there was other times when it shows in the background a bleacher with a bunch of people sitting in it, and there's silhouettes. It was you people watching Sue and me do all the work. And you never got involved spiritually in the work. There's no fiber. There was no fiber in the people that we saw sitting on the benches. And you've dwarfed the work of God. Because you've taken on the spirit of a bunch of seducing spirits that were in the church and have been cast out, and you still have those demonic spiritual problems. They have stuck with you, and you've amounted to nothing. Not a thing. And so Moses is warning these people in this chapter about that. Now, Kimmy Edwards is telling people that I'm just talking and not meaning what I'm saying and making it look as though I'm not a man of my word, and because I haven't got a farm for her disobedient husband and shiftless her to run. I never told her husband that I was going to get a farm for her and for him. I told them if they ever started reporting something, and I tell everybody that in the church, and if they, you could trust them. But who could trust anybody like that? There's a lot of people that are FFA people that are just students of that and want, and they're Christians, and they want, they are intently interested in that. And I'm not only talking about a farm, but they want to do that. I can hire them to do that. Did you ever hear of a hired hand? Okay. No, she's, these people's got their head down, and they're just going shaking their head. Yes, we've heard of a hired hand before. Like they're intelligent. Well, I have too. I'll be 70 years next month, and I've heard of hired hands before. And I've seen a bunch of slothful people in my life too. Primarily those of you that are up on the ridge. And you don't report things because you don't see any value in people being chastened or being taught, because you don't teach anybody. And when you do, I hear you're teaching them the wrong thing. And you like to murmur all the time to them to where it discourages everybody and they leave the church. All the baby Christians, almost every single one of them, have left the church because of you people. People like you. Kimmy Edwards and Ben Edwards and Davis and his wife. And they're raising their children now to be like that. They don't like chastisement, and they cannot endure it. They will not. You can chasten them, and they say, oh, yes, sir, we won't ever do that again. And now they're not even saying that. And so there's nothing left for me to do but to ask them to leave. Because the Lord doesn't want you in here trying to bring this church down to your level. And its pastor. And Jesus, I'm telling you words that Jesus says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep finishing off here with what the Apostle Paul got from the Lord Jesus.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him.
Now, people that stay out of the church, do you think, and they just try to serve the Lord from afar off, do you think that those people despise chastening?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Of course. And they think that they, you know, the Word of God finds you out, every single one of you. It doesn't make any difference what your problem is. The Bible's got your number. The Word of God. And anybody that knows the Bible's got your number. I've got your number. It doesn't make any difference how many letters of apology you write, and you're still the same way. I can see that you've never changed and that you never will. Because, you know, a lot of you are children of darkness. You can't understand the light. You're the ones that just say, I can't understand. I can't understand when God says, lean not unto your understanding. You're not supposed to understand. You're supposed to have faith. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
So, it's like you don't want to be of the Lord. You don't want to be chastened and scourged so that Christ will grow up in you. The Lord called us to be like him. And we cannot be like him unless we endure chastening and scourging. We can't just be the way we are. He didn't call us to be the way we are. What are you, crazy or something? The way you are is like the world. He called us to be like him. And in order for us to be like him, we have to be scourged and chastened. And he said, blessed are you when you endure chastisement. Because you're going to be blessed because the Lord is going to grow up in you. But a lot of you don't have any of that desire in you that the Lord grows up in you. You want your flesh. You don't want any chastening. You don't want any scourging. Your flesh is too important to you. You don't want the Lord to grow up in you. There's no, God did not call us to be ourselves. He called us to be like him, exactly like him. Not imitations of him, but for him to grow up in us. And how could that be if you're the same as the people of the world, or even worse than some of them? Then what?
If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you.
That's if. Now, that's conditional. If you endure chastisement, then what?
God dealeth with you as with sons.
He deals with you like you're a son of his. But if you don't want chastisement from the Lord, if you don't want him to grow up in you,
If you want to remain the same as you wicked selves are, then you're a bastard, he says. Amen? Finish the sentence.
For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?
Yeah, what kind of a son would that be? And if you're not going to be around to be chastened, and if you don't receive what you're being told, then you're not a son, because the Lord says that sons happen because they believe the word of God. They let the word of God come into them to shape them and mold them into the image of God, the likeness and the image of the Lord. Their spirits love to be molded and formed into Jesus Christ our Lord, the living God himself. But you have no desire for that. A lot of you people, it's like as if you're like seducing spirits in the church. Okay, then what?
But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers...
If you're not going to be, you're in a position in the church where you're going to receive chastisement and to be scourged, then what?
Then are ye bastards and not sons.
So then, you know, we see what that roofing crew is out there. Amen? They hear the word of God, but that doesn't mean they're being chastened, because they never give any reports. They don't want to give reports because they figure somebody's going to report them. And they don't want to report anybody or anything that's going on, because they know that when the chastisement comes down, that they don't have enough power of God in them, or probably any power of God in them, to stand under the chastisement, to endure the chastisement and the scourging that they'll receive from doing wrong. They don't want to grow. They want the Lord Jesus Christ to be molded into his perfect image and likeness in them. They don't want to be a testimony in this world. They want to be the way they are for the rest of their death. And a lot of the people are not only grown at all, but they have not even stayed back. They're all going, a lot of them are going backwards. They're worse than they ever have been, instead of growing in the Lord. They can't take chastisement. Then what?
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence.
Yeah, under your parents, you know, you did what they said because you knew you was going to get licking. But when it comes to the Lord, he's not as important as your earthly dad, who incidentally, a lot of them have fallen away from the Lord. You gave them fear and reverence. Then what?
Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
Yeah, because you've chosen to do that, and I see that. And you can't be that way in this church, because you're like Midianites that are trying to cause other people to fall. You're like whoremongers that like to mingle among the people of the Lord and cause them to commit adultery on the Lord by being the same way as you are. You're molding people up in this church to be like you say, they're devils if they report something. No, you're the devils, and you have to go. If you don't become the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not welcome here. But if you are of the Lord, you are welcome here. Okay? I hope all of you understand that. And now you always see a lot of people nodding their heads, you know. Because they'll say anything to stay in, like a Midianite, to stay within the people of the Lord. But I don't care if you shake your heads at all. That doesn't influence me at all, any more than it does the Lord. Because he wants to see proof. He wants to see it. Okay, now we pray that here's Moses giving instructions. I'm sure similar to this, because he'd call when people would do things like that, them into private little meetings. And he'd go over the word of God with them. And it would tell them, you know, the different things, the problems. And I'm sure he didn't know as much as we do, because we have the Old and New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
But he knew God, and I do too. So, Father, we ask that you anoint this message. Anoint chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. And Lord, we ask that you anoint the 12th chapter of Hebrews into people's hearts, because if they're not going to do it, well then, Lord, I pray that you get them out of here and that you let them be seen to me like wicked weeds growing amongst the fruit, so that they can be plucked out
as you had told John that must be done in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations. We're not playing, Father, you know that I'm not playing church. And I know that you're not wanting me or anybody else to play church. And I know that that's exactly what you want. If people are not going to do it, you have commanded them to do. Or for people that are undermining. This is our example. That, Lord, you killed him. And so I don't kill them, but you do want me to set them outside the church. Now, Lord God, anoint and let this be a lesson for us to stand another day, one day at a time, in your wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and power. In Jesus, Lord, we ask it in the mighty name. We ask you, Father God, to tell us everything and explain everything that you want explained in this chapter. Anointed, Father, so that people can know the truth. We all ask it in Jesus' name. We pray, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses instructs Israel to obey the Lord. King James Version, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you.
Right. Back in those days, the Lord instructed them to give stripes to people on their backs. Maximum 39 stripes plus one. That's it. Because that's chastisement. Otherwise, there's crimes that they commit, sins that they do that are deserve far more punishment, and the Lord would have them be stoned to death. Okay, then what?
Verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you.
Right, he destroyed them because what they did is discouraged the people of Israel and went in and made them sin. Amen?
Amen.
How'd they discourage them? Well, they brought a bunch of whores in there and dressed them up to where they lusted after them and committed adultery with them and sacrilege. And so God killed them. He didn't put them out of Israel, out of the camp. He killed them. And so the Lord isn't fooling around like certain people I know in this church do. The Lord doesn't fool around. He's not like you. Okay, he's God. And he wants people to be like him. And if you won't, then you are a bastard. And he has nothing to do with you except burn you in the end. All right, then what?
Verse 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive every one of you this day. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding.
Now, if you do what the Lord says, it's your wisdom. That's wisdom to you. That isn't your own thinking. That isn't your own way, but it's the Lord's wisdom. It's not your own thinking. It's not your own understanding. It's the understanding of the Lord, the wisdom and knowledge of God to do what he says. Just do it. Have faith. Do it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Right, but they won't know that unless they see you doing what the Lord tells you to do, because you're not a son of God, you're a bastard. And they're bastards, and one bastard can tell another bastard. It takes one to know one, amen?
Amen.
And so you can't be like yourself. The Lord doesn't like yourself. That's why he died, so that you'd follow suit. You'd die out and be like him, put on the mind of Christ. Become like the Lord. Don't lead unto your own understanding. You just have faith and do what he says. If you don't do what he says, then you have no faith. And if you don't have any faith, this is not the church for you. Then what else?
Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day.
Right, what church is there in the world that has that believes these scriptures just like this, that I'm telling you? Then what else?
Verse 9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Verse 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb.
Now train your children up in the way they should go, and then in the end they will not depart from it. But you really have to blast people into believing the Lord, because the flesh is so bad that they just want to be themselves. And bastards. So the Lord doesn't want bastards. He wants sons. Therefore, you have to do what he says if you don't want to be a bastard. Just because you go to church doesn't mean anything. The seducing spirits go to church every day. They're here more than you are. And what else?
When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth.
Well, the Lord says, he doesn't say reverence, he says, I want you to fear me all the days of your life. Because I'm a chastiser. I'm a person that scourges, and I make alive, and I also kill, and I send souls to hell. Jesus said so. Don't fear him that can take your life, but fear him who can take your life, that's God, and can stuff your soul in hell. He wants to be feared, and if you don't fear him, then you're not serving him. And if you're not fearing him, you're a bastard, because he says, fear me. The whole duty of man is to fear him and keep his commandments. Don't you get it after all these years? But you're the same way. How could you be the same way and be fearing the Lord? You couldn't be. Okay, let's go. What else?
And that they may teach their children. Verse 11. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. Verse 13, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Verse 14, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it.
See, not just to teach you the statutes and judgments, but that you do them. He's teaching people these things so that you'll do them. And if you don't do them, what good is all the learning if you don't do them? Because you're still cursed. You're even more cursed to know what to do and then don't do it. Doesn't he say to do it?
Yes.
Okay, so people today, these false prophets are saying, we don't have to do anything. Why do they say that? Because they don't want you to go to heaven. They want your soul to go to hell. They hate you. They don't think that you should endure hardness or that you should endure chastisement. They want you to be blessed. We read from the New Testament, blessed are you when you endure chastisement. And if you don't, you're a bastard. That's New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb.
Yeah, you didn't see his figure or anything, but you heard his voice and it rattled right through your bones. Okay? And scared the hell out of you. Because he wanted you to be scared, afraid, fearful of him. Because he says, if you don't fear him, you won't serve him. And that's the problem today. There's too many false prophets saying that God is all love. God is also a God of hate. Don't you forget that. And he's also a God that is a terrorist. And that he's full of wrath to those that teach this sort of things. Now, the people that teach that sort of thing are going to hell and the lake of fire. They love to destroy your soul. Now, what else?
The Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Verse 16, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Verse 17, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air. Verse 18, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Verse 19, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Verse 20, but the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Verse 21, furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Verse 22, but I must die in this land, I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Verse 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Verse 24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Verse 25, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. Verse 26, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it.
So if you do any of these things, God, everything with God is if. If you do good, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to send your soul to hell. And so you like to be these God is love type people? Go, get out of here, because God is love to those that love him and keep his commandments, but he's a God of wrath and hate and anger to all those that don't. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, saith the Lord. I hate. He says, I make alive and I also kill. I want you people to know my true personality so that you'll fear me and serve me. Okay, then what?
Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Translation, verse 1 through 26. Moses instructs Israel to obey the Lord. Quote, and now, Israel, listen carefully to these laws and regulations that I am about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live, so you may enter and occupy the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Verse 2, do not add to or subtract from these commands I'm giving you from the Lord your God. Just obey them. Verse 3.
Yeah, don't say I don't understand. Obey them, whether you understand it or not, okay? Amen. What else?
You saw what the Lord did to you at Baal Peor, where the Lord your God destroyed everyone who had worshipped the god Baal of Peor.
Yeah, so he killed him. So this is a God of love, huh? You people. Okay, what else?
Verse 4. But all of you who were faithful to the Lord your God are still alive today.
Yeah, those that do what the Lord says are alive. The other ones are dead. Dead ducks. Then what else?
Verse 5. You must obey these laws and regulations when you arrive in the land you are about to enter and occupy.
He doesn't say you should. He says you must. Then what else?
The Lord my God gave them to me and commanded me to pass them on to you. Verse 6. If you obey them carefully.
If you obey them carefully. Carefully. Not, well, once in a while. Then what?
You will display your wisdom and intelligence to the surrounding nations. When they hear about these laws, they will exclaim, quote, what other nation is as wise and prudent as this, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 7. Or what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him?
Yeah, so the people of the world cannot see the wisdom and knowledge of this church in a bunch of people that are just like the world. That's why you have to be put out, and it's the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord that says that. There's no Christian that's going to, baby Christian that's going to come in here full of zeal and have a Kimmy Edwards around them. Or a Ben Edwards that's going to tell people, come on, let's jack this up in the church. Okay? Or to see unruly children running around. Nobody can see the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Lord in a bunch of people like that, so they have to leave. The Lord's dwindling this down. He doesn't want a bunch of crash people in here that are Midianites, all right? Then what else?
Verse 8, and what great nation has laws and regulations as fair as this body of laws that I'm giving you today? Verse 9, but watch out, exclamation mark. Be very careful never to forget what you have seen the Lord do for you. Do not let these things escape from your mind as long as you live, exclamation mark.
And don't forget what he did to other people for not doing it. Amen?
Amen.
He killed them, slaughtered them. Okay, what else?
And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Verse 10, tell them especially about the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, quote, summon the people before me, and I will instruct them. That way they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will be able to teach my laws to their children, unquote.
Yeah, but I asked the children in this church, has your dad ever told you these things about this church and how it came into being, or your mother, have they ever done that? And have they told you to keep the commandments? And they say, no, sir. Not any of them. Not any of them.
And so you're all Midianites. Unless you change, I'm going to know it, that you're never going to change after messages like these. And goombye, goombye. Because I'll just have a ministry on television. And, you know, if this is discouraging to you that I want to keep the commandments of the Lord, then the door is open if that discourages you. If you don't want to take these words as a loving chastisement, then get out. And now, okay, don't play games with me. Because now that you have no excuse, you really hear it. I thought you all people were reading the Bible down through the years, but I could see that you haven't. Now you know. Now you're responsible and accountable. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 11. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire. Flame shot into the sky, shrouded in black clouds and deep darkness. Verse 12. And the Lord spoke to you from the fire. You heard his words, but didn't see his form. There was only a voice. Verse 13. He proclaimed his covenant, which he commanded you to keep, the Ten Commandments, and wrote them on two stone tablets. Verse 14. It was at that time that the Lord commanded me to issue the laws and regulations you must obey in the land you are about to enter and occupy.
Not you should obey, but you must if you want to live. Live in here. Then what?
A warning to the people against idolatry. Verse 15.
A loving warning. This is a warning. Warning is loving. Amen?
Amen.
If I warned my little baby girl to not go out on the freeway, when it's, then that's love. It's because I love her. And God loves everybody, and he wants them to go to heaven, and you just keep insisting to go to hell, well, then he'll let you go. You want it. That's what you want. Then what else?
But be careful, exclamation mark. You did not see the Lord's form on the day he spoke to you from the fire at Mount Sinai, verse 16. So do not corrupt yourselves by making a physical image in any form, whether of a man or of a woman, verse 17, an animal or a bird, verse 18, a creeping creature or a fish, verse 19. And when you look up into the sky and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the forces of heaven, don't be seduced by them and worship them. The Lord your God designated these heavenly bodies for all the people of the earth. Verse 20. Remember that the Lord rescued you from the burning furnace of Egypt to become his own people and special possession. This is what you are today. Verse 21. The Lord was very angry with me because of you. He vowed that I would never cross the Jordan River into the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. Verse 22. For you will cross the Jordan to occupy the land. I will die here on this side of the river. Verse 23. So be careful not to break the covenant the Lord your God has made with you.
There's something. He wrote it in his blood, and he wants you to abide by it. He wants the words, this covenant, to be written in your heart in blood, the blood of Jesus. And if you don't keep it, then that means that you think it was all right for him to keep his side of the bargain, but not you. And how presumptuous, how evil could you be to think that you're not supposed to do something? Okay, then what else?
He will break it if you make idols of any shape or form, for the Lord your God has absolutely forbidden this. Verse 24. The Lord your God is a devouring fire, a jealous God.
Well, there's what he is. Not just a God of love, but a devouring fire and a jealous God. Okay, and then what else?
Verse 25. In the future, when you have children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, do not corrupt yourselves by making idols of any kind. This is evil in the sight of the Lord your God and will arouse his anger. Verse 26.
Oh, he's angry, God, too? Oh, wait a minute. I thought all these false prophets said he was just a God of love. He never gets angry. He just loves. Like Alfred E. Newman. Okay? Don't believe those lies. Then what else?
Verse 26. Today I call heaven and earth as witness against you. If you disobey me, you will quickly disappear from the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. You will live there only a short time, then you will be utterly destroyed.
And who will do the destroying?
The Lord.
The Lord? Oh, I thought he was just a God of love. So you've got that now down, right?
Right.
All right, good. That's good. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. Verse 28. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
I mean, that means all. Not to be like you are, you pompous. Nothing you. What do you think you are? If you seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and do whatever he says, what do you think you're going to be here and lounge around? Okay, go ahead.
Verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Verse 31.
Yeah, that means, then what?
For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them.
Yeah, if you turn around and do that. But a lot of people in this church have said, oh, yeah, I repent, and then they go back and do the same thing or worse. So there's a lot, you know, when we hear that story too many times, the Lord and I, you know, we just say, no, it's over. You just lie. Then what?
Verse 32, for ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Verse 33, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Verse 34, or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Verse 35, unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Verse 36, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Verse 37, and because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Verse 38, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land, for an inheritance as it is this day. Verse 39, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else.
No, you're not God. You're just supposed to do what he says. And don't question it. That's called faith. Okay? Change. Don't be like the world so that the nations can see the evidence of people in a church in this on this globe, this planet, that really believe God. Then what else?
Translation verse 27 through 39. For the Lord will scatter you among the nations, where only a few of you will survive. Verse 28. There in a foreign land you will worship idols made from wood and stone, gods that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Verse 29. From there you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. Verse 30. When those bitter days have come upon you, far in the future, you will finally return to the Lord your God and listen to what he tells you. Verse 31. For the Lord your God is merciful. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. There is only one God. Verse 32. Search all of history, from the time God created people on the earth until now. Then search from one end of the heavens to the other. See if anything as great as this has ever happened before. Verse 33. Has any nation ever heard the voice of God speaking from fire?
The whole nation? No, never has. Then what else?
As you did and survived. Verse 34. Has any other God taken one nation for himself by rescuing it from another, by means of trials, miraculous signs, wonders, war, awesome power, and terrifying acts?
Right, yet, chastisement. You have to go through the fire, okay? Otherwise, God cannot be formed in you. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot be formed up into you in the fullness of his stature. And to show the faith that you have really that much faith in God, to where he's grown up into you, to where you're an example, not the same as the world or yourself. Self is the most disgusting thing in the world. Then what else?
Yet that is what the Lord your God did for you in Egypt right before your very eyes. Verse 35, he showed you the things so you would realize that the Lord is God and that there is no other God. Verse 36, he let you hear his voice from heaven so he could instruct you. He let you see his great fire here on earth so he could speak to you from it. Verse 37, because he loved your ancestors, he chose to bless their descendants and personally brought you out of Egypt with a great display of power. Verse 38, he drove out nations far greater than you so he could bring you in and give you their land as a special possession as it is today. Verse 39, so remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God both in heaven and on earth, and there is no other God! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 40. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee.
And it doesn't say you should, it says you shall. Otherwise you will not exist in heaven. Or you will not even exist on earth. God is going to blot you out according to his word, okay? You believe God, then you better believe it. Then what else?
That it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Verse 41. Then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Verse 42. That the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live. Verse 43. Namely, Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites.
So this is love. You know, God is a God of love. Him and people that are of the Lord are of love. They keep his commandments. They do what he says, and if they, the Lord tells them to go in and do something, to take their property away from them, that's love. That's love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because he does it because it's the right thing to do. And if he tells you to chasten and rebuke and reprove, it's love. And it's you're not to think of it as hate, because he only hates you if you don't do it. If you don't chasten people, if you don't reprove and rebuke them. And I'll be darned if I'm going to get whipped by God because I don't chasten you. I get it from the Lord. I give it to you. And if you don't do it, there's no cats or dogs around for you to kick. Okay? Usually people, if you rebuke and reprove them, they take it out on somebody else. If you know, Peter Pachacco tried that one time. He went and thought it was the cat, and he went and kicked the skunk, and it reverberated right into his face. Okay, then what else?
Verse 44. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. Verse 45. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. Verse 46. On this side Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. Verse 47. And they possessed his land, and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side Jordan toward the sun rising.
So the Lord doesn't want us to join in with Balaam and all these other religions, like Catholicism, this pagan religions and stuff. And people today are saying that we should, because we should just be love and love one another, no matter whether they hate God and his word, whether they hate the Jews and the Christians and all that sort of thing, that we should just join in with them. Don't go with them, because the Lord does not want. He wants us to be separate from all other religions. He wants to be set aside. There were all these other religions, and the Lord had these people go in and kill them, destroy them, and take their land away from them. Okay? Don't think that you're being lovey-dovey by joining in with pagan religions and satanic cults, because we're not a satanic cult. We're the children of the Lord, and he wants people to see that we're not like that. If you joined in with all these other religions, where would there be any testimony of God? God is strict. These people are not. They just say whatever feels good or whatever tastes good, let's do it. That's not the Lord. Then what else?
Verse 48. From Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, which is Hermon. Verse 49. And all the plain on this side Jordan, eastward, even unto the sea of the plain, under the springs of Pisgah.
Now we're going to have the translation, okay? And then we're going to have commentary after that, okay? So what verse is this that we're on now?
40.
40, and we're going to go through from 40 to 49 of the translation. Okay, let's go.
If you obey all the laws and commandments that I will give you today, all will be well with you and your children. Then you will enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God has given you for all time. Eastern cities of refuge. Verse 41. Then Moses set apart three cities of refuge east of the Jordan River. Verse 42.
Because that was love. People that accidentally killed somebody, you're not supposed to throw them, execute them, but they have a place to escape. Because the people of their relatives might want to kill them, so they are safe in those things. Then what?
Where anyone who had accidentally killed someone without having any previous hostility could flee for safety. Verse 43. These were the cities, Bezer on the wilderness plateau for the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth and Gilead for the tribe of Gad, Golan and Bashan for the tribe of Manasseh. Introduction to the Law, verse 44. This is the law that Moses handed down to the Israelites, verse 45. These are the stipulations, laws, and regulations that Moses gave to the people of Israel when they left Egypt. Verse 46. And as they camped in the valley near Beth Peor, east of the Jordan River, this land was formerly occupied by the Amorites under King Sihon of Heshbon. He and his people had been destroyed by Moses and the Israelites as they came up from Egypt. Verse 47. Israel conquered his land and that of King Og of Bashan, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan. Verse 48. So Moses conquered all the area from Aroer at the edge of the Arnon Gorge to Mount Sirion, also called Mount Hermon. Verse 49. And they took the eastern bank of the Jordan Valley as far south as the Dead Sea, below the slopes of Pisgah. End bracket.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter Deuteronomy with some translation, and now we have some commentary.
4 verse 1. Statutes and judgments as used in this verse are synonymous and describe all the law contained in chapters 5 through 26. 4 verse 3. Baal means, quote, Lord, unquote. Each geographical location had its own special gods. 4 verse 9 through 14. Moses recalls the experience of Israel at Mount Sinai, recorded in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 through 19. His warning in verse 9 presupposes their difficulty in a faithless God in Canaan. 4 verse 10. Fear refers to the actual fear of God. It says fear and trembling. A lot of people say it's reverence before God, but fear is the proper response of men to God and expresses itself in worship and in obedience. The fear of the Lord, not the reverence of the Lord, but the fear of the Lord, is one of the major Old Testament commandments. 4 verse 15 through 31. The revelation of God must not be corrupted with idolatry. This passage is a commentary of the second commandment and emphasizes that God is a spirit. 4 verse 23 through 24. Jealous indicates an active zeal for righteousness that arose from God's holiness. Because of this, God could not tolerate any form of idolatry. 4 verse 29. See Jeremiah 29, verse 12 through 14. 4 verse 34. Great terrors are terrifying demonstrations of divine power. Note that of the three Greek words used in the New Testament for miracles, two are used here in the Septuagint, quote, Simeon for sign and quers for wonder.
Septuagint is the Greek Old Testament. Then what?
4 verse 41 through 43. See the notes on that in chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. 4 verse 2. God's directions are not to be messed with or tampered with. It's tempting for some people to add or to take away from God's commandments or his provisions. But if we are to have God to battle for us, to give us the victory, we must receive what God says, God's way, just the way it is.
You know, you must endure chastisement. Or else you won't grow up into his image and likeness, and you're going to be a bastard. And the Lord wants sons, not bastards. He throws the bastards into hell. And he tells the people of the Lord to throw the bastards out of the church. Okay? A bastard is a fatherless child. They don't have God for their father. Okay, so listen up, bastards. Amen? If you want to stay, you got to convert. Amen?
Amen.
Now hear this. Okay? Like they say in the Navy, everybody to their battle station. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
We must receive what God says God's way, just the way it is, not the way we want it to be. These requirements are given for Israel's guidance. They were powerful commandments of God's love and mercy. God, through his word and loving and terrifying presence, comes into our life. He also provides us with everything we need to live the fulfillment, provided we keep his commandments. If we do, we have contentment. We're content with whatever we have because contentment means happiness. 4 verse 15 through 19. God warned the Israelites over and over again about the damages of idolatry and how it will send a person's soul to hell. Most people aren't tempted to worship a carved figure or statue, but in our busy world, a multitude of other matters or things clamor for our attention. Push God out of the way and put them first. Make them to be the target for our affection. It is sometimes difficult for some people to remember that we owe our only allegiance to God. He requires absolute faithfulness, all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he wants from his people. He will not be satisfied with second fiddle, to be second place in our life. If we desire God to fight for us, to bless us, and that we can depend on him, we have to put away all of our compulsions. We need to put God in the number one position in our lives. 4 verse 29 through 31. Here God reaffirms his compassion toward victims of painful circumstances and promises to come through for his people, but only if they keep his commandments. He asks only that his people listen to him and obey him, all of his instructions, that we might have life here more abundantly and life eternal. Our relationships with God are contingent on whether we fear him and keep his commandments. Some of these false prophets say even if we don't deserve it, he'll give us blessings. This isn't what the Bible says, though. We can only be sure that he will come through for us if we fear him and keep his commandments.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. And I pray that people understand that. We also read from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where we must endure chastisement. And we should love it because it's causing the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God himself, to grow up into us so that we become the image and likeness of the Lord inwardly. And that way the people of the world can look at us and see that there's a great difference between us and them. Think about that. Keep that in your mind. Meditate on it. Keep it in your mind. Think about it. Think about it. That way you'll have the mind of Christ. And I know when you do, the Lord is going to bless you. There's no point in me saying, God bless you. That's just a lot of people use that as a salutation. But it means more than that. I know if you keep the Lord's commandments, because the Bible says so, that you're blessed. So until chapter 5, praise the Lord. Amen.